Hey, Derek.
Hey, Trey.
It's episode 55 of the Beyond the Curb the MX podcast. Supercross finale. Mother's Day race. Dade City round whatever. Caleb and the
C-Class Cowboys.
C-Class Cowboys doing an honor ride for Noe, riding the 22s with the gold plates on them. There's a whole bunch to talk about. I got 8 pages of notes, but I don't know. We're going to hit the highlights because there's also 827 MX stuff going on. It's also Thursday, the off week for the boys, to get ready for Pro Motocross round one.
Yep.
So let's hit the high notes, man. Where do you want to start? I mean, the biggest thing is your wife raced in a Mother's Day race.
Yeah, she did, but we'll get to that. The race is like kind of forgotten to me at this point. We crowned some champions. We crowned a champion that's been waiting for a crown for a long time.
Yes.
You know, one that we knew was going to end up with it. It was a good race and all. Salt Lake City was the view was beautiful there.
Oh my God.
Like, it's incredible.
And it's crazy to me, this beautiful view. And then all of a sudden they pan over and the sky is so dark, it's purple.
Yeah. Yeah. Evacuated stadium. I mean, but just the mountain view there, it's awesome. I wish we would have been there.
Do you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing riders absolutely love the city.
Oh yeah.
They can't stand the stadium.
Hmm.
Like they love going there.
The stadium it's like such an open concept. It's almost like it's not a stadium at all. Yeah. It's obviously we have open stadiums, you know, in the series, but that stadium itself just kind of looks like it's so open,
yeah.
You know.
And it is the U. I mean, Utah, so
yeah.
No, but I called it. I can't say I called it. I called it. Hayden Deegan did Hayden Deegan things and did the things he had to do to maximize his chance.
Yeah.
He looked good. We're not even going to dive too far into it. The damn kid can ride. He's a good rider. At some point, if he grows up, he's going to be an awesome rider. But there is too much drama that follows him day in, day out.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's, you know, he went out in his heat and did what he needed to do. But, you know, we get to the end. Congrats to Tom Viao.
Like, yeah.
Two years. It's incredible. For a guy that really didn't have much promise in Supercross by the looks of him.
He looked terrible last year.
Has now grown into a, you know, championship rider. So, you know, congrats to him. I was worried about Cody Shock, you know, in his heat when he smoked the side of the luckily there was padding there. So I was honestly worried he was gonna re-injure a collarbone the way he hit.
You know what Michelle said? They knew someone was gonna do that.
Yeah. They did they said something about it and then the track conditions and
yeah, because the padding was there.
Yeah.
They knew someone was gonna because there was that little kicker coming into the corner.
Yeah.
And that's what
just
got him.
A whiskey throttle to
yeah, that's crazy, but yeah, Hayden did what Hayden did. Jalik Swole, congratulations to Triumph for a team that started from zero, built their own bike. Whatever their program looks like right now, they now get their second rider back with Savachi for outdoors. Swole did that company proud. He had a good year.
Yeah, yeah, for, you know, the cards that they were dealt and a brand new bike, a brand new team. I believe they did pretty well. I think they have a pretty bright future, and I'm anxious to see where the bike goes. We honestly wanted to get one too for our team.
There's one for sale.
But Fun Bike Motorsports in Lakeland is starting to deal them.
Someone's selling a used one for over 10 grand.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's used.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But it's a Triumph.
To me, it doesn't make much difference. It's still, you got to be competitive with the rest of the bikes.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, but I mean, we're not going to touch too deep in that. We usually kind of go through and talk about certain riders. Unless there's something you want to see. Second heat, the big talk was RJ Hampshire looked so good. Levi Kitchen was so far behind. Levi Kitchen comes out in the heat and shows, hey, I'm still here.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked, if I had to put money on it, it was Levi, you know, looking at the riding in the heat. you know, we're sitting at Dade City and we had our riders meeting and they're like, let's all sit and pray that RJ can finally lock this one up. And cause it's, you know, that's RJ's home race. His sister was there. Obviously she's racing at Dade all the time, and his nieces and nephews. And, you know, everybody was just hoping that he would lock it in. Yeah, they were still qualifying a little bit while we were doing the riders meeting, but Levi looked really good, so I honestly expected bad things for RJ.
Well, the thing was, is RJ was coming in the heat and he put on a charge. And I'm like, it's just a heat race, dude. It's fine. But there was so much banter back and forth, I don't think between them, but the broadcast was Levi was so far back in the qualifying. And then he comes out and does this. But then at the very end of the heat, RJ puts in a smoking lap and literally closes up right behind Levi. And it's like, okay, well, we have a true battle. Oh, by the way, Tom Vial did not look very good in his heat race.
Even in qualifying, like all of it, Tom was it looked like he just forgot how to ride. Like it looked like last year, and I'm like, you gotta get these nerves out of your head.
Because
Like that.
Deegan doesn't feel that.
No, and it had to be what it that had to be what it was. Like it's just championship nerves is what it seemed like to me. Just it was all getting to him, making constant mistakes, and I was worried for him because honestly, I wanted Tom Vial to win. Not I didn't want Deegan to get that championship, but it was kind of dangerous. I mean, if you look at the heat race, you know he finished ninth, which is he had to finish 11th or better. You know that's cutting it real fine for a heat race.
And the I think also what we lose sight of is KTM hasn't had they've had a good year with Chase coming on. Plessinger was looking good for a while. Their 250 side of things, really it was Vial and Boumaer. Boumaer's a true freshman in the class. You have RJ on the Husqvarna side doing well. GasGas, Pierce Brown's been consistent. DeFrancesco really hasn't done much. Barcia's making a late season push, but the KTM group hasn't really had. Can you imagine the pressure? He's the only chance they have to win a title. There's probably a lot of pressure.
Yeah, you can almost guarantee it. And
And
then
that adds to it.
the talks that were had at the rig, and like, but I mean, it doesn't matter. He did it.
He got it done. He got it in. But yeah, that's the heat. Phil Nicoletti running his last race. He gets it into the main. A lot of talk about Adam Ciancerillo, Philip Nicoletti. Dean Wilson's going to be running a partial schedule. So we're starting to get the shoes dropping. Last chance qualifier, Cody Shock went out and did what Cody Shock needed to do after bouncing off the wall. Again, Bourdon has had a great season. Boos Vlog and Max Miller. Actually, the Max Miller Welton Brad West race was pretty solid. That there was some good banter back and forth between them on the LCQ. We're kind of running through this because, like Derek said, it's Thursday. There were some cool things that happened. The main focus was the championships. And I'm just if we hit something that you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. But LCQ, then we get into the 450s. Whoops, I did that wrong. I got points. I got everything. I got notes for days. 450s. All Jet has to do is really qualify and finish 17th.
Yeah, and that's what he did. I mean, his heat race, he shot out of there. Webb caught him with the bike, which was a little sketchy,
What
but
was it on purpose?
I don't know. I think Webb grabbed a handful of throttle and just came in, but I truthfully don't. I don't know. Like maybe he was just going for it. Maybe, I mean, he's got a thumb that's hardly working. Obviously, it's not on the throttle side, but. It's hard to tell. Maybe Webb was trying to take him out. I don't know. You never know.
You never do know.
I don't think he's like that, but if he wants a championship bad enough, it'll make you do crazy things.
Well, I'm waiting for, was it Cooksey? Is Cooksey the one that has the hot takes? I'm waiting for Cooksey to come out and say that Yamahas are messing up thumbs. Because Cooper Webb has a thumb, Tomac has a thumb. I'm waiting for that video, some scientific research. But
Deegan did a wrist. I mean, that's close.
But Justin Barcia has a good heat. He Bam 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 had a very good late season run.
And he was riding with Jet.
Whatever they figured out, they did good. Cooper Webb eased it home in third. Dean Wilson, good last heat race. Yeah, I know he's going to race some, but I think he's going to start doing the Brayton program a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about his knees, and it's just like there's nothing left in some of them, and
yeah,
and it's just getting tougher and tougher. Justin Hill put it in straight in, but yeah, it's just the story of the night is Jet Lawrence, and there's no one else to really compete against them. Heat number two, Chase Sexton, you looked good.
Yeah. Justin Cooper looked really good, too.
Justin Cooper was on it.
Hunter's been riding extremely well. Like, I don't know if something's just clicking or what with him. But
and we had a little foreshadowing of the
Hunter. I was a little nervous for AC. I'm like, dude, like, it's your last race. At least put the thing in. But it was kind of close.
He was back there battling Clayson and Simonson. Yeah, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's your last ride. You're just out there.
Don't you think his emotions were just
through the roof?
Yeah.
Maybe one to ride the LCQ and get an extra ride in, but that would have been something if he went to the LCQ and then didn't make a main in your last race. Yeah. That would be terrible.
And then Kyle Chisholm puts it directly in, Colt Nichols, Ferrandis. But, yeah, that top four, Chase Sexton, Justin Cooper, Hunter Lawrence, and Jason Anderson, they would all play a part in the main event.
Yep.
But, yeah, Adam just kind of – I think Adam just – I don't say he rode around because none of those guys just ride around. But he, when one of your friends who's injured flies out, obviously Ken Roczen's family, he's got family that lives in Utah with his wife. But when they fly out to visit you for your last round,
yeah,
sponsored by a completely different brand, two different brands, and you have on a Kawasaki Monster Energy jersey in honor of your best friend or one of your best friends, that says a lot of who you are as you walk away from the sport.
Yeah.
So kudos to Adam on a hell of a career. I know he's never going to get the credit because he was supposed to win all this and all that. Man, the cards he was thrown, he did an amazing job with the cards he was dealt.
Yeah, he's battled a lot of injuries. I mean, it's more lows than highs. And he put out a tweet, I think it was this morning, that he got to eat some ice cream, and he got to sit around and do nothing, and he was heading to the gym this morning to make sure his body was ready for TV, and that's all he was gonna say.
Yeah.
So like I said, I think we were gonna see him in an announcing role.
I'm just wondering whose job he's gonna take.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna take someone's job. Do I not have the LCQ? I wanted to touch on that because that gum, man, the LCQ in the 450s was a treat. Grant Harlan, that guy has done a great job this year of rebuilding himself from the accident in France.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he started riding, wasn't even getting close, was struggling. And the last race of the season, he goes out and puts in a three-second gap and says, like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm back. Looking forward to seeing him in the outdoors. Obviously more packed than it is. The story of the night is, who was it? Who crashed? They went in. The reason Kevin Moran's made it in is because two guys crashed, and I can't remember who it was, in the last corner. Who was that?
I don't even remember, but I know, like, it was what Moran's and Tristan Lane were right neck. They were neck and neck.
Yeah, but who crashed? Who came up the inside? Someone blitzed the whoops, came up the inside, and they crashed. And Moran's just cruised around the outside
and then made it in.
Because was it Tristan Lane? And it was a Kawasaki and a KTM.
Yeah.
And they crashed, and I'm like, oh my God, no way. And then here comes Moran's, who has had a horrendous year. Absolutely horrendous year.
Yeah. Yeah, it has not been good for him at all.
And then it all becomes worthwhile as he comes over the finish line. And it's like, oh, I made it into a main. I don't know anything. I mean, I'm just a dumb guy from Polk County, but the tea leaves are telling me that we might see a Starling Moran's collaboration.
It's possible.
So, because there is no more JSR racing.
No, there's a lot going on in his world. I'm anxious to see what all comes about it. Like I said, I can't believe that he's parting with Honda because he's got a lot of backing with them. He's doing a lot of cool things through Honda. He's getting a lot of support that most privateers don't get.
No.
So obviously something is good. You know, something good is happening.
Maybe he just likes that Marantz rig that they roll around in.
Could be.
Who knows? But yeah, the 450 LCQ was, again, TV worth watching. Like, you just got to set the timer and go sit and watch it. But as we dive into the 250 main, which Bubba, by the way, Bubba called it a shootout twice. And Michelle says, do you think that he gets in trouble for that? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's supposed to be a showdown.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets in trouble for much.
No, I mean, they bring him in. If they bring him in, you kind of get what you get.
Yeah,
But
he's pretty raw.
yeah. Deegan did what Deegan needed to do. Gets the whole shot, leads it from start to finish. And the battles that we want to see are RJ Hampshire, Levi Kitchen, and where in the world is Tom Vial? And that was it. But there was some good racing going on while that was going on. And RJ was never going to be satisfied unless he was up front. I thought for a while he may try to go after Deegan for the win.
Yeah, it's he was not championship mindset.
No.
It was just lay it all out there, which I was kind of worried because when RJ gets like that, it usually something happens.
Yeah.
But he's been riding so well that it's like everything's finally clicking. He's consistent, he's smooth, and it worked out. I think there was a couple maybe close calls, but nothing to upset the championship at all. He went out and he did it with fury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he did what he had to do. I mean, he made sure that there was not a green bike in front of him, and that was going to seal the deal. Jordan Smith, great last ride for the season on Supercross. Joe Shimoda, Levi Kitchen was so far back and then started pushing. And I thought for a while that he was going to be able to close up, but I mean, he's not going after nobodies. He's going after Shimoda and Smith, who Smith has had a good season
Yeah.
all year. And Shimoda had his typical late season charge. So, Hymus did what Hymus has done all year, kind of been invisible, but I'm here.
Yeah, with him, it's hard to tell what you're gonna get,
Yeah.
like a on and off, and you know, like you said, he's there, but he's real quiet.
Yeah. And then Tom Vial brings it home safely in eighth with Jalik Swole and Phil Nicoletti, a top 10 to finish out his career. Not bad. Not bad for old Phil.
Yeah.
The grumpy old man. I'm kind of curious what he's going to do because, one, that opens up a 250 spot for club. And does he do 450 outdoors, Phil, or does he do 250 outdoors? I can't remember what he did last year, but he's going to finish it up with outdoors. He's not calling it curtains.
Yeah, I don't know what he's riding.
Yeah.
I can't
I can't remember.
remember.
Yeah, me neither. But to the point standing, the overall point standings, Tom Vial wins it. Deegan second. Cody Shock. How about Cody Shock in
Yeah.
third?
Which is it's awesome for him, you know, to have a broken collarbone and come back and still get third in the championship. It's kind of hard to beat.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Pierce Brown. We made fun of Pierce Brown being in the brown multiple times, and he comes away with fourth. And then Max Anstey, poor Max Anstey. He just the end of the season, literally was up there battling for the championship, and then it falls apart. Jalik Swole finishes seventh on a brand new bike. I think that may be his best season as a Supercross racer.
He had a really good season at one point. I can't remember who he was riding for.
With Husqvarna?
I think, yeah, like one of his earlier seasons.
Okay.
But like Nick Romano, I think that door has got to be
It's
closed.
got to be.
You think they're going to bring, you'd think there's so many other talented riders that would want to ride for Star.
Do they just bring Towers? I don't know Towers' age, but do they just go ahead and bring Gavin Towers up?
I think it's very possible. Like, it's, I don't know. There was no performance there at
No.
all. It's, surely they're going to float him, but I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. They kind of got a different mindset when it comes to the team. So,
Maybe he rides for free and proves himself. Because, like, Bennett didn't have a contract until he had a contract.
Cody Shock was paying for everything.
Yeah.
And, look, he just signed what, a 3-5 year
Yeah.
deal?
So, I mean, and then on the West Coast side, you have RJ Hampshire, Levi Kitchen, Jordan Smith. Man, he made it through a season. And he also beat the factory Honda rider, Joe Shimoda. Nate Thrasher, I think that's okay. I mean, if you look at finishing fifth, he's still on a factory bike. He beat Marchbanks and he beat Boumaer. I think that's okay. It's not where they want him, but it's okay. Rider D, 12th. Do we say he'll get it together?
Maybe. I think you'll see him do a lot better in outdoors.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine this? The East and the West together. Now, that's going to be so much
It'd be
fun.
wild.
Oh, it's going to be fun. But yeah, anything else on the 250 side?
No,
Okay.
everybody did what they needed to do. It actually was a really good season
Yeah.
in 250s usually.
250s was very good this year. I enjoyed it. And then 450s, Chase Sexton got the hole shot and said, sayonara.
Yeah, he put it all together. No issues, just left. If he had done that all season, everything would have been totally different.
I mean, he looked good, but I think the story of the night, I don't know if it's Chase winning or Justin Cooper finishing second.
He was on a ride too, but I think Jet, with Jet just kind of,
Cruising.
riding around, I think, that opened up a little bit of a room for everybody else.
Staying out of the way.
But, the big thing would be Hunter and Anderson.
Yeah.
Anderson gets into Hunter at the beginning of the race and
It was a
clearly
block
hits his
pass.
leg.
Yeah. I don't know if he kicked him or if he just pushed him.
It looked like the front tire hit Hunter's leg, and then he got up into him, and it totally shoved him off the track. Little aggressive at that stage of the race, in my opinion. He did run him real high, but Hunter's leg was also out there a little bit. So if you're trying to block somebody, obviously you're going to hit their leg if you're running them that high. But he really didn't need to run him that high, I don't think. I think he could have been a little bit more patient with it. But there's been a little bit of bickering back and forth from those two.
Yeah, it's like a 2-on-1 all year. The
Yeah.
battle of the Lawrence versus Anderson.
Anderson. So then, with Hunter just straight cutting him off, obviously that's a no-no.
Yeah, because wasn't Bogle DQ'd for doing that to Barcia? Yeah.
Years ago. But that's, I mean, I honestly didn't expect that out of Hunter. I figured he might just try to give him the same back. He had the opportunity right there. He probably could have come in and just shoved him off the track and made it look like an aggressive pass instead of just straight cutting in front of him.
But okay, I'm all, they didn't DQ him, which I found odd. They penalized both of them and fined him. But why is Jet involved? Is it just brotherly love? Like Jet doesn't need to be involved.
I think those two are so close. I don't know. I mean, what did Jet do?
He talked about guys like that just need to be put on the ground every once in a while to show that
Yeah, I
they,
mean, running, spurting the mouth,
yeah.
he's still got some kid in him.
And dude, you're a champion. Go be a champion.
Yeah, and don't worry
Don't
about
worry
that.
about it. Like you got you, at some point, because you're only adding fuel to Anderson's fire. And there's 11 rounds of outdoors to go and an SMX. And guess what? Anderson won't forget about that. And if you're going for the $1 million in Vegas, he ain't gonna care.
Yeah, he'll take you out
Yeah.
because he can.
So. But Cooper Webb with the bum hand, what a yeoman's ride to put in a podium with the bummed hand. I mean,
Yeah, he
honestly, that's pretty cool.
I mean, he's trying to do everything he could, just hoping for the best, but there was no way that Jet was going to let that go. And it would have took a serious problem for him to not finish the race. That's literally pretty much what would have had to happen. He would have had to not finish in order for it to work out. But congrats to Jet. He's now won all of them.
It's crazy. Seven in a row? Titles in a
Yeah.
row? That's nuts.
Won them all. So, and I truthfully don't think there's much competition for him in outdoors.
We'll see.
I don't think he's gonna win them all,
I don't, yeah,
but
we're not gonna have another perfect season.
no, but I don't see him not getting a championship as long as he stays healthy and
Well, let's say this. He won just under half of the Supercross races. Let's say he wins just under half of the motocross races. Still pretty good season. I mean, the guy is on a, you hate to say it because it's not about money. The guy is on a money train right now. He is on a money train.
absolutely.
They were calculating if the VIP experiences sell out, it's like 200 grand a weekend. That now obviously they have to share it with Feld, they have to share it, they have to pay the expenses, but they're
Yeah,
bringing in like 200 grand a weekend if those sell out.
obviously, I mean, they're probably clearing, what do you think?
I would think with the trucks and the fees, and
Maybe 100 a weekend,
I was thinking that somewhere between 50 and 75 is what I was thinking.
which is a lot of money
Yeah.
in a weekend, plus
17 times.
winning bonuses. This weekend he would have absolutely went through the roof with, a cash cow. I just They're raking it in. Sure, at some point it's going to slack off, but they're never going to have to worry.
There's also, he's, it's contract time for him.
Yeah.
How much is that going to cost?
Yeah, for them to keep him, like I said, I don't ever see them going anywhere. If they go somewhere, it's going to be his brothers, but I don't see them switching brands.
Is it at some point, is it not HRC anymore? Is it literally Honda Japan's like, all right, we got to keep them. We're now, it's now Honda Japan. And because HRC is like, dude, we can't
Yeah,
afford it. Like,
can't afford it.
because they had Carmichael, they had McGrath. They let them go. They let them go.
Don't know. You think with, I'm sure they get a big cut of the Lawrence experience too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're helping fund a lot of it,
It's an interesting dynamic, and with as much winning as he's done, this contract, I mean, do you just go to the Carmichael win bonus? Like, no, just pay me. There's no bonuses. I'm just gonna go win.
It's something I'd be anxious to see, but I,
Yeah.
like I said, I don't see them getting rid of him. I guarantee at this point they have made more money than they ever have having those two.
And we're gonna tell them we're done with the, they're paying Desi back for all the sacrifice.
Yeah,
It's
they're
all good.
it's well paid.
It's all good. Before we move on to the exciting internal stuff, congratulations for Kevin Moran's making the main. Bummer, dude. The last place guy does not get a point. So you literally made the main, and you got no point. So, oh well. Like, you made it through the whole. So basically, what happens is there's nothing to show that he did anything in Supercross. 0 points.
It's all right. He put it in the night show. That's all that
Yeah,
mattered. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
but it's still, the experience. He got paid. I mean, he got paid to be there. Might not have been the best, but he still got paid to be there.
Malcolm Stewart finishes sixth. Good job. He had a good end of the season run.
Yeah. And that seems to be how it works for him.
Yeah. If
It
he's healthy.
the push is too late. Yeah, he made it through the whole season. No injuries. That's a step in the right direction in itself, so.
But no, it's a good night of racing. It was exciting. I really thought the broadcast did a good job to emphasize the excitement. I thought they didn't stumble over themselves too much. I get nervous every time they do the three-man booth because you never know.
Yeah.
But no, it was good night of racing, even with the delay in the storm. Luckily with Peacock, you can just watch it. And on the replay, they skip all that. Like, but we move on. Oh, Drew Adams, by the way, Thank you, Peacock. Thank you, AMA, for you have those races always in the middle. And we get to the finale, and it's only on race day live.
Yeah.
Or they started the program early. Yeah. But Drew Adams out leading, doing awesome, pushes the front end, crashes. But they were so far ahead that he still finished second.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, they obviously he's next and upcoming.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as he's old enough to he'll be riding for PC, I'm sure. Drew's got a bright future. I mean, he trains with the Lawrence brothers, but all in all, for all of them, you know, tied together, it was a really, really good season.
The Florida boy Tyler Mollett had another good ride.
Yeah.
If it's not Mollett, correct us. I think it's Mollett.
Close enough.
But the guy that won, Davies from New Zealand, he basically took a chance and came over here.
Yeah, they. It's a really cool story, and at first they didn't want to do it.
Yeah,
and he just didn't know, and they decided to almost like a Lawrence deal in a way. Just decided to
give it a go,
drop it all, and come here and just to see if he could do it. Obviously, he can do it. Yeah. So,
because he's been up front.
Yeah, I mean, had Drew not went down, that's what Futures is all about, though. Yeah. Had Drew not went down, I think that it would have been different. But
still,
he's
second.
Still close. Yeah. Like he was, he's always been pretty close, so he can clearly do it. I think we're going to see a lot more of him, obviously at this point. So
I wonder if we'll see him still on GasGas because they're kind of full right now. I wonder, or if the KTM group says we're going to fit you in somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll get a ride.
Yeah.
It seems like it, top three in that championship seem to come out with a ride. You know, as long as they're old enough to do it. I think Drew still has another year.
Drew's going to Canada to do the Triple Crown because, or whatever they call theirs, because you can't, I mean, why not? It's either that or go to Europe and race EMX or MX2 because I'm sure they want him to get professional gate drops.
I would imagine. And I'm like, I'm kind of glad he's moving because if that's, you know, if it comes down to, you know, our side of things where we need another spot at Futures because, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but that opens up another door that could potentially help us some. So, all in all, it was an awesome season. This is probably one of the best Supercross seasons we've had yet. I mean, obviously our insights on this race weren't the best, but there's so much going on in the world around us right now.
That, yeah.
It's kind of hard to keep track of everything.
Well, we jump from Salt Lake City to Dade City.
Yeah, Dade City was a blast this weekend. Last weekend. And this weekend we have it too.
But it was back-to-back.
Back-to-back. We weren't sure about Dade this weekend. We got a call mid-last week about Caleb riding Robert Noah's bikes. My bike has been bogging. Caleb's been running it. I think we're due for crank bearings, and I knew that just wasn't going to happen by the end of the week. And out of nowhere, we got a call that the whole Robert clan, the Noah clan, wanted Caleb to ride Robert Noah's bikes as like a tribute this weekend. I'm like, let's do it. You know, Dade's not a big deal. It's mainly just gate drops. It's learning. So, Caleb got on there. We had one of the Zach Flanders from the C-Class Cowboys jumped onto the other one. These are Robert's actual race bikes. And just so happened that CNC Photos was coming to Dade. So I actually met up with him. I'm like, listen, you know, this is what's going on. And he's like, man, I forgot my memory card. You know, I forgot my big memory card at home. I'm just trying to get some pictures. I'm like, well, if you got the opportunity, you should really try to video this ride. Yeah. You know, we tried to do like a memorial ride at intermission with those two, but obviously we had a Mother's Day race, so it was kind of hard to fit all that in. So he's like, you know what, because of the story, he's like, the CNC Photos kind of came in late to the game of motocross. He's pretty new to taking pictures in our world. So he's like, I'll do what I can do with what I got. And I'll pretty much dedicate the entire last half of the racing to doing that. So we got a really awesome video. Those two went out and just put on an absolute show. And College Boy, they signed up together in College Boy. And It was just a sight to see. It was extremely emotional. Caleb was just broke down into tears riding the bike. Caleb actually worked for Robert's company, still does. So he's pretty close to him, and it really hit him hard when Robert passed. So to give him that experience was awesome. And, if you haven't seen our video, it's been played a ton.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a cool video.
So it really made its way around, and there's a lot more in the future with that. But Dade was awesome. The Mother's Day race was probably the highlight of the night. On top of that, we got this really cool tribute race that we did, and then I talked my wife into getting on a pit bike. So it took a lot of persuasion, but RJ Hampshire goes out, wins a championship. His sister goes out, wins a Mother's Day race. But no, we got Brianne on the gate, and she wrecked. Well, she stalled on the gate, so she didn't get off right away. And then she was actually riding really fast. She was the last one off the gate, and had already. So they only did a half. So the start was like halfway through the track, so they did like about half a lap, and then they were doing a full lap. So just like 1.5 laps. So a start and a full lap. By the time she came around the finish line from the start, she had already passed like five or so moms. I'm like, hell yeah, get it, girl. She comes down around, and she's looking really good. She's like, she's getting ready to pass a bunch more, and I'm like, this is gonna be cool. Like, it'd be a cool experience for her. And then I see it, they drop down into the backside of Dade. It's known as like no man's land back there. That's where a lot of wrecks happen. And she didn't come out of it.
Oh
Like,
no.
I see flags waving. I'm like, well, she's down. I'm like, I'm trying to decide if I should run over there because it's way over there. And here she got stuck underneath the bike. Like, could not get her leg out. She said she was kicking that bike. Her pants came back. She was all muddy. But she still didn't finish last. She got back on the bike, and I think she probably passed like four or so of them
Okay.
again. But it was awesome. She had so much fun. As much as she was dreading it, she was a nervous wreck the whole time.
So she shifted gears and everything?
Yeah, she did.
Okay.
I'm like, listen, you don't need you, the only time you need that clutch is to go. Don't worry about the clutch any other time. Just shift the gears and go. And yeah, off the start though, she forgot about the shifting. And we had a buddy come up. He's like, man, I hate to tell you this, but your shit's gonna be blown up by the time she's done. Because it was just wop, pop, 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 first gear. I'm like, so I ran up, and I was hoping when she come back around, I was gonna tell her to shift. But she had figured it out at that point. She shifted up. And when she come off, she's like, I forgot to shift. I'm like, clearly, I mean, everybody could hear that thing just pounding, pounding rev. So it was fun though. Like, it was really cool to get her out on a bike. She always said that she'd always liked to race once. And by the time she come off, she's like, that's kind of fun. I'm like, I've been telling you this for years. It'd be awesome to actually get her on a bike here a little bit more, but I mean, that's a stretch, but we'll see what happens. But Dade was a cool night. That's probably one of the more memorable ones we'll get. We get the tribute race. Mum gets out there. Our 827 Moto Mum gets out there and finally gets on a bike. Bowen leaves with a third in the PW class. He put on some really, really hard charges. It was a good night for him. The e-bike and Oakley on the 65, they didn't do the best. It was a kind of a rough track for them. But we, like I said, we're going back this weekend and try to do it again. See if I can't open up a pit bike class and get her back in it. That'd be awesome. But that it's probably not going to happen. But we had a lot of stuff go on with A27 this week. Along with that video that was put out for the tribute race, we got a lot of traction on that. And we're not even really trying for sponsorships yet. Yes, we're looking. Anybody that wants a sponsor, we are willing to work out a deal with a lot of people at this point just to make this happen. We can't do this without the support that we have. But we gained Shred MX Conditioning. they've been on our podcast before. You look back, I can't remember what episode it was,
Yeah.
but you just look back through our podcast and listen to what they do. They now are they have a full blown program that is awesome, but they're going to take on Caleb's full fitness and nutrition training. To
Is he ready for that?
I think he's fine. Like when I started working with Caleb, about a year ago, things were very fuzzy, you know, in his riding career.
A loose program.
It was very loose. You know, the fitness was not there. The kid's, it's a strong kid, you know, he's always at the gym, but the guidance, you know, I've said this 100 times that the guidance for him was not there.
Yeah.
You know, he's with a different team, and I'm not going to knock that team at all. He just didn't have the support around him, I guess. You know, if you asked me a year ago, would he be ready for that? I'd say I don't think so. All the work that I've been doing with him, and you know what we're building, I think he is ready finally for that next step. He's got so much improvement. And the support system is unreal. I can't be grateful enough for like the people that have come to us. Like I said, we had 2 different people that wanted to do photo shoots with us, or, you know, videography stuff. And then Shred has come on with us to completely take over his fitness and nutrition, which I think is really going to unlock the next level.
Yeah.
That's obviously one of the key factors in this. And when he's got somebody that's going to discipline him like that, you know, he's got all the emails of what goes back and forth between those two comes to me as well. So, I mean, he's got how many people right behind him just pushing and pushing and pushing. And so he's getting the real life feel of being a pro rider right now. We just locked up a bike last night, brand new YZ250F, 2024. So we got that, you know, that was another sponsor of ours that we will get some names of how they want us to proceed with that probably next week or whenever we decide to do the next podcast. But
so it's heat cycling time, huh?
Yeah, that was done last night. We're gonna put the first rides on it tonight at Dade. If I can get up there. Either way, it's gonna get rode. But the guy CNC Photos, who did our video of the tribute, reached out to us this week and has decided to come on board with us as well for all our videography and stuff like that. So like I said, I can't be more grateful for just the people that are taking the leap without us even asking. It's incredible to see the support that Caleb has, and the faith that they're putting into the program that I'm trying to build. I never could have imagined even being in these shoes, you know, and then now seeing the support that's backing us it's something that I could have only dreamed of. You know, 53 Graphics has come on with us for all of our helmets. We really at this point need to focus on a gear sponsor and graphics. Graphics are a big thing right now. Our bikes are all looking terrible. I mean, they're bone stock with electrical tape numbers. You know, I'm so focused on the important things. You know, graphics aren't important. They are important for our sponsors. And we'd like to really get them out there, but you know, it's the fundamental stuff, the fitness and the nutrition, the gait drops, the building up what we need to build as we get into regionals here in the next couple of weeks. So I'm kind of doing it a little differently than most of your teams would do. You know, I think graphics and being highly presentable is probably top of the list for a lot of these teams. But to me, I think the most important is focusing on the racing. The graphics, all that stuff will come later.
Well, the bike is small. If you can, and I'm kind of with you on that. If the bike looks nice, whether it has cool graphics on it or not, doesn't make it go faster.
No.
but your presence on the way there, while there, a van, truck, trailer, all that stuff is going to get more eyes than a bike going 35 miles per hour around a track.
And I think, honestly, even the social media, you know, being able to provide the advertisement and or the tagging of our sponsors, and now that we got CNC Photos coming on with us, like, we get those cool videos, those cool pictures, yeah. And then they see our sponsors, you know, along with that. That's going to get more traction than being on the bikes to me right now. So that's what I really try to spend our time on is it's more marketing. You know, you get the business mindset coming in. It's more the marketing for me than it is the presence. You know, we're there. We have the support system that's unbelievable. We didn't get to. Everybody parked, you know, miscommunication this weekend at Dade. We all parked in like different spots, and we still had, you know, we were parked all by ourselves. A27 was sitting there by itself, you know, with some people we didn't know. And it's still the amount of people that come up to us and, you know, come up to Caleb, and it's incredible. It honestly almost feels like we're, you know, we're pros at an amateur event. It's surreal in a way. I can't be more grateful, and the traction that we're getting already is incredible. So I can't wait to see where this thing goes. There's so much in the works. But right now our main focus is Loretta's regionals. We have got to get through that and get to Loretta's, which gains us a pro card, you know, then the dream comes to life. Obviously the dream is not staying in the amateur level. Yes, for my kids, they got a long ways to go in that, but we set out, we built a mission, and we set out to get Caleb pro, and that's the goal. Caleb has finally, you know, he's decided that he wants to be pro, but his all-time goal is to make a name for himself. It's not just to be another pro. And it made me really happy to hear that. Like, there's a goal in mind. There's a path that we're trying to take, and we're doing everything we can to get them there. You know, financially, it's difficult. It's very difficult. That's why I say the sponsors are crucial. You know, at this stage of the game, you know, we kind of jumped into this just free-handed, empty bank accounts, and we'll see what we can do type of mindset, and it's. The 2 weeks, 3 weeks that we've kind of put this program together it's incredible to get any kind of backing at all, let yeah. alone, you know, we have a brand new bike sitting that was paid for in cash. You know, it's mind blowing, honestly.
Well, very good. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of cool things going on. I love the excitement of the Mother's Day race and the fact that they did the tribute, and the 827 is there's momentum and it's going, so that's good. And whatever happens with the regionals, it's just that next step, whether it's hopefully positive, or if it doesn't work out, then it's okay, cool, we make that next step, but there's a plan now for it to continue on.
Yeah,
and that's the exciting part.
We overcome the obstacles. We were down at McKibben Power Sports here in Lake Wales, and they had a really good deal on a KX250, and we just couldn't lock it in. I mean, that was Thursday before our race Saturday at Dade, and we had no bike because, you know, mine was having issues, and that's when we got the call about it. It's just mind-blowing to me that's – we couldn't lock that one up. We get a call about riding Robert Noah's bike right after that. And then, you know, I told Cave, I'm like, listen, it's not meant to be. Like, something else is going to come up. You know, there's a reason for this. I mean, look at, you know, I'm not overly spiritual or anything, but for the love of God, I mean, what's the chances of, you know, you get a call to ride another bike when we can't lock up another one? And next thing you know, we're, you know, Caleb had his heart set on a Yamaha. They run the best right now. They're producing the best bike. I mean, look at the Star Yamaha bikes. They're hard to outpower them things. He rode a 24YZ at the track not too long ago, and he's like, it just feels incredible. But we found this Cowie and we're like, yeah, dude, the price, it's, we know we can swap my suspension. We kind of already have the setup. My suspension's built for me and for Caleb. We pretty much have the same suspension setup. So we're like, we can just swap them over. You know, everything sounded great. We just, obviously the financing, just couldn't get it locked up right. And I'm like, it's just an obstacle we have to overcome. Like, we'll figure it out. And next thing you know, we're sitting on a brand new Yamaha a week later.
Yeah.
So it clearly the Cowie wasn't meant to be, and it all worked out. And like I said, it's just brings me back to the support system that we have, and it's just so mind blowing that, you know, how these things are working. And I will be 100% honest, like it's very stressful. There's a lot of being on my phone all the time. And you know, like I told you off camera here, our internet's down, and it's just, we had a bad storm here yesterday, and not having that internet is like driving me nuts, because it's not that like I'm addicted to the phone. It's the, we need it.
It's
You
how
know,
business gets done.
yeah, it's so hard to do anything when something won't load, and we got so much going on. It's mind blowing. I got emails coming in that, you know, we're now on a strict fitness and nutrition regimen. I mean, I'm getting the emails that Caleb's getting, and I'm following what he's doing, and just the keeping everything on track. You know, Matt Bell, hats off to you, because you built this thing, and I see what it's like. And I honestly, I'm addicted to it. I am. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way, but I cannot wait to see where it goes from here, because it's just incredible the way it's all working out right now. And if we can get past regionals, it's, if we can't, you know, if we can't get past regionals, it's like you said, it's just another step that we'll figure it out. At that point, that I already have the goals set in mind. You know, if we don't get through regionals, we don't get an outdoor card, we're straight to Supercross. You don't need an outdoor card to race Supercross. They're two different things. So we will be focused on Minios at that point, and getting Supercross points at Minios. And then that's when I'm going to start working on sponsorship a little bit harder, and we'll be working on the futures program for next year. It's really hard to get all your Supercross points at Minios, so we will try. But the goal would be Supercross futures, and do what we got to do there. So all the steps are in place. It's just, you know, getting the backing and getting to that point is
Well,
where we're going.
the journey is something we're going to document, since we kind of enjoy what HBI has done at a very small level. We're starting that journey. I say we because I'm part of this, so I may be the broadcaster at times just because you're busy. But I've enjoyed watching the journey of you starting this process. Looking forward to the next steps. I've already seen a difference in Caleb's personality from the first time I met him to now. And as that process moves forward, I look forward to sitting down with him and talking to him and kind of getting his insight, maybe doing some 5-minute hit pieces of, hey, how are things going? And between the work, because let's not forget, he's not doing this just sitting on the couch and training. He's working a full-time job and getting all his information via his trainer, who's in Ohio, I think they're in Ohio, and making all this work while trying to start this other career. So that journey in itself, the true journeyman is something that if we can show this at the level we're at, that it can be done. It's kind of like when I ran the marathon, people say, I couldn't do that. And I'm like, dude, I started running 30 seconds on, I'd walk for a minute and a half. And then a year later, I went and ran a marathon. Yeah, anybody can. It's if you're willing to do.
Yeah, you trust me, you can do this. Yes, like I'm at the perspective that I do not want to hide any of this. Yes, there's some stuff that obviously can't be public at times,
Yeah.
and that's not on me. That's, you know, sometimes sponsorship's not totally locked up yet, and we don't want to ruin that opportunity. sometimes there's just things that can't be said. But this sport's so secretive, and I don't want to be that. We love HBI and how they're very open. And I want to carry that same philosophy, but and that's what I'll do. Like right now, yes, I own a business. My wife is a speech therapist. She makes really good money, but this economy is very, very hard because I own a business, but business is very difficult right now. I will tell you that this is probably I'm busy, but the amount of bills that we have, it's hard. So you don't need to be rich to do this.
Yeah.
It just takes the drive and the commitment. And, we came into this with zero. You know, I got kids that are racing, like our, it still boils down to the focus is my kids, you know, getting my kids to the races. So, we still focus on that. If there's leftover money and, you know, their bikes need parts, that's where the money goes. It doesn't go into the race team. So you can do this with nothing. You know, it's not a dream that's unreachable. It does take a lot of knowledge, a lot of commitment, a lot of sleepless nights. You know, I get a call from your wife at 9:30 last night that, you know, we had a property that had some issues, and on top of dealing with all my internet issues and trying to get some stuff out for the race team, and the bike just came in last night. So, you know, I'm dealing with that. I was on the phone a lot last night of heat cycles and prepping the bike to get it to ride tonight from 2 hours away. You know, I'm on the phone doing all this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I get that call, and we're still people. It's still life. We're out. I had to go work till 10:30 last night, and I get home, and as much as I wanted to go to bed, I had to sit down, write an invoice, and try to get a few more things done. Caleb's sleeping at this point. So, you know, I'm trying to do what I need to do behind the scenes, and there's a lot of sleepless nights, and you just have to be dedicated. It's difficult, but it's not unreachable.
Yeah, and the joke's about if you want to be a multimillionaire, start with $1 million in racing. I will tell you this: there are two. It's not dirt bikes, but auto racing. Roger Penske. We all look at him as this. He's a billionaire. He owns multiple businesses, and well, he started as a racer, and in a little shop in Pennsylvania. And when he got Sunoco sponsorship on his car, in order for that sponsorship to be continued, he had to perform. And that sponsorship was paying for the racing.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is Mike Shank out of Ohio. He was a racer. He was a racer. And he and his wife, all he wanted to do was be in professional racing. Well, fast forward through remortgaging his house and doing different things and blah, 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 he's now built two successful race teams. Oh, and by the way, this little itty bitty team that's now not itty bitty won the Indy 500 a couple years ago. But that was the choice he made. And you're starting literally from that scratch of, I have nothing and let's see what we can do. It's a journey that we all dream of. And sometimes, you know what? You fall flat on your face. You either choose at that point to regroup and restart, or you just say, I can't do it. And right now, I think it's one of those, we're going to do this come hell or high water type things. And
yeah, like
it may look different multiple times.
My mindset, and I've always been somebody that thinks a little bit differently than everybody else, and I think that plays a crucial role in the success of it. I've never been one to give up. It's already challenging. Like there is some days like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
but obviously we're slowly in the few. Obviously, this has been talked about for months. There's a lot of planning, but, you know, it's only been really official for a few weeks now. And it already the challenges that have been set ahead of us have been overcome. There's no space in your mind that can think that you can't do it, because the second that you have any doubt, it's over.
Yeah.
It'll give you a negative mindset, and you have to push forward. Like I said, I've always thought differently. I choose to think that. And I think that that's really what's going to be the driver and the success of this thing. It's not going to be something that I do on my own. I mean, it takes an army to make this happen, and without that army, we're just a shot in the dark that's probably going to fail. But I do think that we have enough backing already, and it's just going to keep getting better from here. There's so much support within the moto community for us and what we have going on that we hope for the best, and we'll see where it goes from here. But I really truthfully think that it's something that's going to succeed in the long run.
Well, I'm going to tell you straight up because I've had it. I haven't done this way, but I've done multiple things. And you're going to be called dumb. It's the stupidest thing you could do. And you just smile and you say, thank you. Because people don't understand. They don't understand that internal dream drive thing. So, yeah, it's fine. I mean, I've been told that multiple times. I've been told that recently that some of the stuff I do is dumb. So
I already get told it. I mean,
It's funny. It is. And guess what? One of my really good friends, he thinks what we do is silly as all get up, but he loves it and wants to be a part of it. And it's
yeah.
like, he thinks it's silly, but it's too cool not to be a part of. So, but you get enough people that think it's silly but want to be a part of it, and all of a sudden you have something.
Yeah.
And so you find those people, but, hey, we're here. We're going to keep grinding through. I will say this. I think for Derek's peace of mind, there's no need for us to podcast next week because there is only Dade City this weekend. So we will take a week off to rest up and recoup, and we will then be back after the first round. So Memorial Day weekend, which is first round, we will podcast about the first national. More talk about 827. Getting ready for Ichnikani, and we can wrap up because we need to do these check-ins to see what's going on, the good, the bad, the ugly, how the training program's going.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see just in the next few weeks, take this week off and see what I can bring to the table in the
Yeah.
next few weeks, because it's, like I said, just in this few short weeks has been incredible. So, I'm sure there's going to be some ugly in between that, but it's something we got to face. So I think we'll be good.
I think for the summer for us too, because we love covering the races, the way they've broken the schedule up this year, it's going to work real well because we'll have 4-4 off, 4-4-4 off, 4 off, and then 3. So we'll take those little breaks this summer because there'll be some Loretta Lynn stuff, there'll be regional stuff, and we'll tie all that in while you're building the team, not only to give you that break, but then to build the story that we can tell while we're talking about the races. Because you know what, quite honestly, there were weeks that we discussed Supercross and it just wasn't, we're not lucky enough to be able to get people on with us all the time. But there's sometimes the storylines just aren't that good. And there'll probably be nationals this year where the storylines just aren't that good. And having the 827 story to tell will give us some excitement to talk about.
I agree.
So I
Yeah,
look forward to that.
it's quite the adventure, and I want to be able to tell it, and tell the behind the scenes, the good, the bad, the ugly, the all of it. And anything that we can say, I'm not going to be afraid to say it and promote the next person to try and do the same thing, because that's how we grow.
Well, it's about the cleanest voyeurism you can do. Follow this story along because, I mean, we may get dirty on the track, but we're going to keep it really, really clean. And this is a family thing that we're building, that you're building, that I get to be a part of and watch. So I look forward to Caleb's growth. I look forward to your growth. I look forward to the struggles. I got to get Mama back on a bike again.
That's a goal.
Yeah.
So Ashley Harris from Shred MX Conditioning said it is her goal to get Brianna on a bike with her and
Oh,
ride together.
okay.
They will be down here in July for the PAX Trax MX camp. So I'm gonna see if we can't make that happen. I'm hoping I can get her at the camp for a day or two and maybe get them out on some pit bikes together or something. We'll get
Could
some video.
she ride a 65?
She could. I think the 65 would be easier than the
Yeah.
110. The 110s are real jerky. If you keep them in a low gear, they'll jerk a lot. The 65s are just real smooth.
Cause
So,
she's a small.
yeah, and I told her when she rode that Mother's Day race, I'm like, you should consider riding the 65 instead. She was gonna ride the e-bike, so there's no clutch, no nothing. I think it would have been a better idea if she rode the e-bike, but size-wise, the 110 was better. But I said the 65 is not gonna be as jerky. It's gonna be easier to get off the line. You can just dump the clutch on that thing, and it's just gonna spin the tire, and you'll go. But she was a little nervous. I mean, she was extremely nervous to race in general. So, I think I might try to get her on the 65 here and see if we can't get her to ride a little bit. But she's not in the mindset of riding right now. It's not a passion of hers. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean 65, 85. I mean, when Michelle was contemplating many years ago when I first got in, like, oh, this would be fun. We were gonna get her like a big Will 85 because she's so tiny.
The CRF 150 is kind of like a good mix of all
Yeah.
of them. They're just loud, but I think that would be good. If she actually wanted to ride, truthfully, like a 125 would be ideal, but a CRF 150, I mean, they're all around. You can get the big wheel kit on them. They're not overpowered. They do have a lot of power. Those things are awesome, but they're a good mix of everything. So I don't know.
Might be adding a female rider to 827.
That'd be cool.
Hey,
I'd be fine with it.
anything else to round it out?
No, like I said, just thankful for everything and everybody. Tretomax conditioning, 53 graphics, obviously us beyond the curve. CNC photos, the whole Robert Noah clan for doing everything that they're doing for Caleb. Can't wait to see where it goes from here. It's gonna be exciting.
Awesome. Well, congratulations to Jet Lawrence. Congratulations to Florida's own RJ Hampshire and to Tom Vial for being the Supercross champions this year. We moved outdoors. We got more Dade City racing, a few breaks here and there. Lots of stories about 827MX for Derek Schaefer with DBS Custom Fabrications and Handyman Services and the owner, CEO, president, and mechanic of
Yeah.
827MX. I'm Trey Heath with Michelle and Trey Real Estate. Together, we are Beyond the Curve, the MX podcast. We will talk to you all in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.